services, Lavazzi at boo1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 304. I'm Adam. I forgot to look for a quote, actually. And here's Mary Lang.
Look out for the flying beastie.
Kirby Bartlett Sloane.
A police box on the runway.
And Isabella Pearson.
Hi.
That wasn't in the show.
Here's one. Now go on. Ben can catch a ship and become an admiral, and you, Polly, you can look after Ben.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Right, and that's back this week to a more normal...
Almost as I want your brain.
I nearly got to the end of that sentence. It's... so, Kirby.
Master.
What happened after we finished recording last week?
After they bodily threw us out of the room, which I was not expecting, because we had that room for 2 hours until the last minute.
What do they use the room for after they've thrown you out?
Excuse me?
What did they use the room for after they'd thrown you out?
The state of science fiction.
Oh, that's interesting, wasn't it? It would have been interesting, wouldn't it, Isabella? No.
It would have been interesting, yes, but I didn't know it was in the room.
You should get your money back.
No. I had a great time over the weekend. It was a lot of fun. Then what did I think we took stuff to the car and... wandered around for a few minutes saying goodbye. I ended up in a conversation with Colin out in the hallway and said goodbye to Wayne Tillett. He's the caricature artist. And went through the dealer's room one more time and then got in the car and drove home for 4 hours.
Ah.
You could probably drive the entire length of England in 4 hours, right? Yes.
If you go fast enough, yes. I'm hoping to see him in Newcastle, and of course he's supposed to be on Concus Durbus.
That's right.
Yes. Well,
so, are you going to Concus Durbus, Mary?
Yes, I am.
Ooh. Yay!
Have you pre-warned Colin about Mary and her reputation with four doctors?
Well, she's met him before, right?
I've met him up in Chicago, but it was extremely briefly, so...
Okay.
It would be nice to have more of a conversation with him.
That would be interesting.
He was amused by Matthew. Because Matthew knew everything.
Yeah, Chicago TARDIS had a big, the anniversary year, the 50th, they had Colin Baker and Peter Davison and Paul McGann there. Yeah. So it was, it was a fleeting moment with each one of them. So,
but not too fleeting with Paul McGann then, eh?
Well, that was 2 years before that I had all that interaction with Paul McGann.
Okay. But anyways, great effort last week, apart from me not being able to, not being heard. It was a bit of a disaster. But in the whole, it's probably my fault for... booking the Little Mix concert on a day we're supposed to do a live link up. But never mind.
She enjoyed the concert. That's the important part.
Did you enjoy the concert?
Of course I did.
Mm. See, I'm on her side.
Thank you.
Right, so let's have a look at the Faceless Ones. Now, episode one, if I can get it up on the thing, here we go. So that begins with the TARDIS sort of landing in an airport. Gatwick Airport, to be precise.
Yes, they also approached Heathrow. Hmm? Never mind. Anyway, they spoke with both Gatwick and Heathrow, and both of them gave their permission, but Gatwick for filming, but Gatwick gave them permission first.
Ah, that's good then. Well, that's the airport in London I've been to, I think. Or have I been to Stansted? Yeah, I've definitely been to Gatwick Airport. I haven't been to Heathrow. So, yeah, the TARDIS lands on the tarmac. Not the tarmac, sorry, the runway,
and,
I think.
And Tegan kept having problems getting to Heathrow.
Wrong year.
Right.
I love the way that Jamie says, it's a flying beastie. That could have been my quote, actually.
No, it could have been mine.
It was the first one I was going to use, of course. But that's the first line.
Yes. So, we meet Commandant. Excuse me. And, of course, Jean, who is played by Wanda Ventham, who is... sort of a reoccurring Doctor Who actress.
Absolutely.
And also the mother of Benedict Cumberbatch. Didn't know that, did you?
Oh, is she really? I didn't know that.
It's Wanda Ventham.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you didn't
Benedict
know that?
Benedict Cumberbatch's mummy.
Oh.
Isabella doesn't know who Benedict Cumberbatch is. There we go.
She will.
Benedict Cumberbatch, then.
Well, since you won't ever watch Sherlock.
You've forgotten. Yes, she doesn't know.
That makes it matter.
Well, think of a character that Benedict Cumberbatch might have played. There's quite a few.
I just said it.
Not you!
Shut up.
Pardon?
Shut up.
God, sorry. Have you noticed that, Mary? Kirby has to spoil everything, doesn't she? Doesn't she? She?
It's a long-standing tradition.
Wanda Ventham plays Jean Rock in this particular story, and she was very beautiful. All right, Kirby, what other stories has she been in then? Without Wikipedia-ing it, it should be a reel off the top of your head. Three... Two.
Hang on.
Oh, no, sorry. The other story she's been in is the Image of the Fandal and the Time and the Rani.
Oh, yes. Other person in the story was in Time and the Rani.
Were they? Who was that then?
I think. Let me look.
Well, the Doctor was in it. I don't think Kate O'Mara was
in it. One other actor.
Oh, wasn't Pauline Collins. She was in...
Donald Pickering, I believe.
Was it? Well, yeah, so Commandant.
Was he in Faceless Ones? Let me check.
I don't know.
Yes, he was. He was Blade.
Was he?
And he was also.
He was. Yes.
Yes.
Well done. Oh, no,
but then my favorite of the multi character, long time actors in this was Pauline Collins.
Yes.
Going from here to
she looks like Paul McCartney and Claw. In this story. Ooh, what's that? You just hit me window. Right, back to the story.
As someone said earlier in the week, she was not amused.
There's the airport officials cart the TARDIS off the runway for obvious reasons.
Completely ignoring the fact that real police boxes are made of concrete and can't be picked
up
like that.
Thank you, Kirby. So they split up in a very weird way. I think Polly runs off on her own, and the Doctor and Jamie run off together. That didn't seem to be the right combination for me. Polly witnesses the murder of the police officer, and but she gets spotted checking the body, so she quickly gets kidnapped. She runs back to tell the Doctor and Jamie what she saw.
Yeah,
and then she gets kidnapped. Yeah, sorry, Kirby.
It's very odd how the chameleons, as I eventually figured out we should call them, right. Although it took like episode 5 before they started calling them that.
Okay.
They were very inconsistent with how they handled people who were against them. Sometimes they'd kill them, sometimes they'd...
Oh, yeah.
They'd just tie them up.
Yeah.
And freeze them.
Yeah.
Make up your mind.
Yeah.
No, it depends on how important to the plot that person is.
Anyway, Polly is kidnapped, and that's essentially the last time we see her as Polly in episode 1, because she becomes taken over by the chameleons and becomes operates the desk, the information desk, doesn't she, of Chameleon Tours. Meanwhile, Kirby.
I was doing some research on Gatwick, and because I found this surprising, this whole charter air service thing, and they apparently still do much of their business as these charter flights.
Yes. Okay.
Most of my experience with airlines is as commercial airline service, not as
Gatwick's
charter.
Yeah, it depends on the size of Gatwick, because there's a lot of smaller airports around that deal with strictly with charter services.
Yes, yeah.
Right. You really did not
in the States, too, Kirby.
Yes.
Well,
moving on.
My experience is very small, I guess.
Yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. The Doctor and Jamie arrive at the immigration desk where they meet Leela's future husband. And also, he'd already been in an earlier episode of Doctor
Who. Oh, that's right. That's who that was.
I can't remember which one he was in there. They basically... I think they're trying to get their TARDIS back, or the TARDIS back. Well, Ben meets up with... I can't remember. Blade, is it?
I know.
And I think he's looking for Polly. But Ben...
Or is it Spencer?
Was it Spencer? No, I think it was Blade. It might have been Spencer. I can't remember.
Spencer seems to do all the dirty work, and Blade's always telling him what to do.
I think it is Blade on this occasion.
Okay.
But we also see Blade injecting people. Well, chameleons, actually, because you only see the arm at this point. I can't remember why.
Yeah, it's odd, Master.
What's odd?
By the way, Chris Tranchell, who played... who was eventually played the character who married Leela.
Yeah.
He was also in The Massacre of St. Bartholomew's Eve. But in The Invasion of Time, his character... I can't even remember the character's name. He was so bland. I always had the impression that, like, that was... that actor's first role or something.
No, he was previously in Doctor Who.
He was so bland.
Okay.
So I remember when I was young and seeing The Invasion of Time for the first time and just going, what?
Anyway, so back to the story.
I missed Leela.
Yes. So Doctor is trying to... he knows there's something going on. He's trying to sort of tell the Commandant... there's something not quite right. So he takes the Commandant down to where they expect to find a dead body, but don't obviously find a dead body. Polly meanwhile starts her job. She actually meets up with the Doctor and doesn't know who Polly is.
Yeah, this is when she becomes the Swiss girl.
Yes, without the Swiss accent.
Yeah, and why didn't they run her through the same deal they ran the other faceless ones or chameleons through, where this, what's your name, what's your job, etc. In this case, well, I guess she was trying to be she was in disguise.
Yes, she was. So, yeah.
What's that clicking?
It's me clicking my mouse. I'm clicking through the pictures novel.
But in the pictures, does she have long sleeves on so that you can't see that she's got that bracelet? It just occurred to me that I don't remember seeing a bracelet on her.
No, I don't know either. I hadn't even got to that sort of scale of detail. No. You're catching up with Kirby, Mary. So we see the nurse's...
dangerous.
The nurse's sort of operating table, where the chameleons who have been sort of turned into people are being processed. I do love the Commandant. He's a really good character. And then we get the air traffic control bloke becomes the chameleon. We see the sort of like a regeneration scene in a way when the camera sort of shows the transformation of the chameleon into the human version of the chameleon. If that makes
the
sense.
The air traffic control bloke is Meadows. He's one of the few names I was able to figure out.
Okay. Well, as I say, you do see the transformation. It actually works quite well. But it's obviously the same effect they used when they did the regeneration scene of Hartnell into Troughton, but done slightly better. Nobody's disagreeing with me, so I'm going to carry on.
We're not.
Why would we disagree with you, Master?
We better not do. So.
I would.
Yeah, Ben is, in meanwhile, is quite concerned about Polly. The Doctor tries to sort of snap Polly out of it, but it doesn't work. The officer, Inspector Crossland, turns up investigating the disappearance of Inspector Gascoigne. And, he's a bit more able to believe the Doctor's madness than the... Commandant, and even Jean is able to sort of go along with the Doctor's ideas quicker than the Commandant. So, Jamie, meanwhile, meets up with Samantha, who is obviously Nick Briggs's mum, is it, or auntie? I don't know.
What?
For God's sake. Nick Briggs.
I know, I've heard of him.
Yeah, we know who Nick Briggs is, but who are you saying?
Yes, we know who you are. Yeah, wait, let, I did not know this about her. Well, I just
she
mainly
was called Briggs, and the character's called Briggs. Samantha Briggs.
We thought you were being serious.
Anyway, so Samantha arrives at Polly's information desk asking about where the whereabouts of her brother. Brian.
She wasn't upstairs, downstairs.
She's got a hat rather like Boy George's hat there. Look at that. Actually, it doesn't seem to sit on her head properly.
Yeah, that was weird.
And then Jamie immediately starts flirting with her. Now, she was a potential new companion, but it never came to fruition.
I think she would have been really good, but like I was saying privately to you guys yesterday, the fact that she snogs Jamie twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been a very, very early bit of hanky-panky in the TARDIS.
Yeah,
it would have been,
yes.
Well, the information I found is that they did offer her the companion part, but she refused.
Yeah.
Which, in a world where actors, you know, kind of grab whatever job they can, was kind of unusual. Yeah. But she didn't want to be tied down to a TV show at the BBC. She had bigger plans.
Did she not win an Oscar for Shirley Valentine?
You know, I think she did.
Therefore, she must be the first.
She has an OBE. Let's see
Oscar
what else.
Winning actress, if she did. Find out if she won an Oscar for Shirley Valentine. What's his name? Kirby, isn't it? While I continue with The Faceless Ones, Episode 2. So I'm just flicking through because I can't glean anything from these pictures.
I know, I can't either with the pictures I'm looking at. I'm looking at the reconstruction. You can't really get much of anything.
Black eyed
with
me.
I don't
anyway.
See.
Yeah, we see a picture
anything.
Of Polly, sort of with her eyes wide open. Obviously, the original Polly, his body is like a body print thing, a bit like the Zygons, isn't it? They need the original to keep the.
Yeah, I guess these are the original Zygons, aren't they?
Yeah, I suppose they are. Yes, they could be. They could have been the original idea behind the Zygons.
Yeah. With the whole
they're
business,
not too dissimilar.
The planet being. With their having problems on their planet and a disaster, and they have to figure out what to do, and the doctor does tell them to go and figure out something else, and we don't know. Maybe the original chameleons. Yeah. They change.
Yeah, they're very Zygonish.
They're Zygons.
They? Yeah, I was like, we don't need that yet. Sorry. Isabella's trying to knit the black iPad. It's not ready yet. Don't need it. Stop being impatient. We're only in episode 2. What else can we say about this? Who wrote this?
Oh, by the way, she back with Pauline Collins. She was nominated but did not win the Academy.
Okay. I nearly got it right. She probably got a BAFTA. Who wrote this story?
Yeah, she did get a BAFTA.
Good. Who wrote this story?
Someone who writes.
Thanks.
Malcolm Hulk and David Ellis.
No, so not so the same bloke who wrote the Terror of the Zygons then. So that's quite interesting. I thought it'd be quite interesting if it's the same writer. It's not. So Ben gets nabbed by the chameleons. Sorry, and Crossland continues in his investigations, and then we see the plane, don't we? That takes the youngsters away, and I think Jamie and Crossland get on the plane, if I remember rightly. But meanwhile, the doctor gets frozen by some gas while he's doing some poking around.
This is really strange watching the.
How many episodes was?
Watching six. The reconstruction,
yeah.
And then for episode 3, we then have the same thing in live action. And actually, my reconstruction has it going back and forth.
Oh right, oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, I didn't.
But anyway, the doctor survives this Gat thing and then gets the better of. I can't remember his blooming name now.
It's this little freezer pen.
Spencer, gets the better of Spencer. And then Crossland has a chat with Samantha and Jamie, for that matter. Shows a picture of Samantha's brother, who looks a bit old to be Samantha's brother. I'd say she's more like Samantha's father, actually, judging by the photo. Or that just might be me. Spencer gets a bit of a telling off from Blade for being a bit of a dippy twit. And this is, I think, the point in which the Doctor realises that there must be somebody on the inside, as in somebody in air traffic control, who's controlling these special flights. I will say Crossland hasn't got on the plane yet. I was jumping ahead, but I just remember parts of it. Sorry about this.
Well, you didn't try to watch this beforehand? Of course not, because you don't have to do the... Wait, but you had to write the questions for...
Of course I've watched it. Right, so I'm just flicking through. Still flicking through.
Just pulling your just chain, flicking through. Pasta.
flicking until I find something.
But I think what's funny is that the policemen are looking for Jamie and the Doctor, who keep pulling newspapers up over their faces to not be recognized.
Yes.
Come on, this guy in a kilt and all this.
Yeah.
Yeah. How stupid can they be?
Like I say, they monitor the flight as it leaves Gatwick.
If you're dealing with episode three is fully intact, so no, you don't.
No, I can't play episode three. I'm going to have to do the whole thing via photo novel photos anyway. So at this point, Crossland is on the plane and gets threatened by Blade with a gun, and that essentially is the last we see of him as.
Well, at least his name wasn't Gun, and threatening him with a blade.
It's all right, Isabella. So we have to put up with this all the time.
Wow.
Right, I just went to episode 3 by mistake. Oh dear. Right, so episode 4 looks like the plane's when it starts. The episode starts. Looks like the plane's on fire because the trail that comes out of it. I do love the use of the little monitors that they have communicating, a bit Skype-ish.
Oh yes. But isn't it interesting that their face is like right there, like they've been waiting, to turn the thing on?
Yeah. Jamie, Samantha and the Doctor, they're lying on the ground. What's that all about? Are they on the plane as well? They can't be.
No, they're back in the hangar.
But why are they lying on the floor?
They were frozen.
Oh, they got frozen, okay.
With the freezing gun.
Why
did they... And the guy freezes them, he sets the laser... to go very slowly, James Bond like. Yeah, it's going to eventually slice through them, and he leaves.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's the way to stretch out an episode, is what it is.
Yes. I remember. Yeah, I thought of James Bond when I saw that.
The villain leaves, yeah. giving him all kinds of time to figure out an escape.
They change, they get a chameleon version of Jenkins. As well, ready for another bit of infiltration into the air traffic control and the sort of runnings of the airport, because they've already got the nurse, Nurse Pinto.
Nurse Pinto, yes.
And but they do keep some of the...
She was evil. She should have been Nurse Ratched.
They do keep some of the originals in some rather daft places, to be said. I mean... If you look at the end of the story, they're maybe being kept in cars in the car park. Yes?
Yes, they were inconsistent with that as well, because the Nurse Pintos, they stated that in the story that hers is kept in the medical center because since she controlled all of the transformations, that she just knew where that one was. But the odd thing was that I believe it was we see Meadows sitting... His one is sitting in a crate. Oh, I guess they didn't have time to take him to the car park. Okay, so that's consistent.
Oh, good grief. Okay, right. So, wait, all that time.
Don't try to find logic in an illogical place. Yeah.
So,
it is logical now that I think about it.
Yes,
it's just, it's 5:28 in the morning.
Yeah.
Jamie and Samantha do a lot of sitting down in the waiting room.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least she got rid of the silly hat.
That's because he's the only companion that actually did what the Doctor said. You know, when Doctor says here.
Yeah. Jean pretends that she's ill. So she can get into the little medical room, or is it just to distract everyone so the Doctor can get in there and find out what's going on, which he does. And I think...
Yeah, that was the doctor's idea.
I know, but she sort of pretended she was ill to enable... Yes. Yeah, to distract people. Jamie, meanwhile, has got on to the chameleon tour's plane and doesn't feel too good. He doesn't like flying, so he goes off to the toilet just as everybody disappears. So he doesn't get...
Just as everyone shrunk.
Oh, sorry, yeah, but they look like they disappeared.
Yes, yeah. At first we think they've disappeared, and later we find out they've
shrunk.
And
then we see the transformation of the aircraft, which doesn't look like a normal aircraft anyway, into a sort of rockety-type aircraft, and then we see it's rather impressive sort of merging with the space sort of craft. Like the
well, at least from the pictures, it's impressive.
Yeah, and then they did a quick computer version of it for the reconstruction, and that looked just...
Well, not in my reconstruction, I don't know.
You should watch the right reconstruction.
In our reconstructions, we're seeing, you know, what looks like almost a cartoon thing, so I was wondering what the original really looked like. So
yeah, the source... I have a friend who gets reconstructions for me and gets them to me instead of trying to seek them out and watch them online, and mine are from a reconstruction team called ELAPHE reconstruction team. So they're different.
Well, that's the wrong ones. Isn't that the wrong ones, Mary?
Yeah, definitely the wrong ones.
It does matter.
Go and watch the reconstructions that give you the better idea of what the story was like.
I had a perfectly fine idea of what the story was like.
No, you didn't. Did you, Mary?
No, not
Thank
a bit.
You very much. Right then. so on the aircraft, the chameleons are sort of emptying all the lockers of the shrunken passengers' sort of belongings, while Jamie hides.
Perhaps they used all these little dolls later, Masta. Perhaps they used all these little dolls later when they needed props for the tissue compression eliminator with
or
the master.
Not, maybe. So Jamie gets onto the spacecraft and starts poking around and finds the drawer full of miniaturized people. But very soon...
Dolls.
Pardon? All right, dolls. Very soon he gets caught. The doctor sort of rumbles Meadows. I can't remember. How did he rumble him? He spotted the armband thing, didn't he?
Yes.
And Meadows then becomes quite compliant for a little while, because I think the doctor threatens to find the original or something like that.
Right. Yes. Destroy it.
Nurse Pinto has tied down Samantha, and at this point the doctor hasn't found. Oh, he does find the her armband, and they find the original one, and blah de blah de blah. Samantha just about escapes. The original Nurse Pinto does help them for a bit, if I remember rightly.
Uh-huh. After killing the policeman. She helps for the rest of the story.
Yeah, but after killing a policeman, Jamie meets up with the director, who is actually played by the same actor who played Crossland, because he's using Crossland's body.
Right.
And now, I forgot to mention the doctor's been given a period of time by the commandant to sort everything out. The commandant starts actually being compliant and starting to believe the doctor's story. And once he believes it, the doctor's sort of on the winning side to a certain degree. I do love the chameleon
Master.
Version. Can I finish? I do love the chameleon version of Jamie, who doesn't have the Scottish accent. I think that's really cool. Yes.
Oh, yes. I like that.
That is good, yeah.
Yes. I thought we discussed Bernard Kay earlier, who played Crossland.
Yes, we probably did, yes.
Because he was in many
he was in
stories. He was Saladin.
Yeah, he was
in the Crusade.
In Dalek Invasion of Earth.
Yes, and Colony in Space.
Yes.
Well, those are the main Doctor Who things.
Okay, thank you for that.
His best known film appearance was as a Bolshevik leader in Doctor Zhivago, which I haven't seen. So.
Okay. Right then, so episode 6.
Oh, he commuted between Madrid and London to play Saladin while he was playing the leader in Dr. Zhivago.
Well,
that's interesting.
Yeah, about that then, Isabella. So, meanwhile, the Doctor manages to get to the spaceship. Can't remember how he did that. Did he jump on a plane?
Yes, he pretended to be a chameleon.
Ah, that's right, the chameleon Doctor. The same police officer that probably got killed.
No one believed him.
Undo him almost right away.
I think we see the same police officer who got killed in the previous episode running backwards and forwards. I think they're trying to imply that several police officers are actually involved in trying to find the actual originals, because the Doctor's bargaining point is to tell Blade and his compatriots that they've got the originals and they can just wake them up and switch them off, and therefore
turns everyone into goo.
Yeah. So they are really rushing around trying to find them, and then I can't remember, is it Jean and Samantha find the some of the originals in the car park?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Once they've done that, the Doctor wins, essentially.
Of course he wins.
And they're very easily persuaded to go back to their own planet and find another option. Which is quite funny.
Well, I mean, the alternative is to all of them, you know, be reduced to nothing.
Yeah.
And as we now have figured out, they go back and they've become Zygons.
Yes. yeah, like I say, Jamie and Samantha have a bit of a smooch. And then Ben
another
and Polly
one. This
turn
is the second smooch.
You're right. Ben and Polly turn up, and this is obviously filmed a lot earlier, probably in the earlier scenes when they actually arrived, to say goodbye to the Doctor. A slightly better departure than Dodo got, has to be said.
Yes.
Yeah, at least they were given a choice.
Although only, it's only 2 days after Dodo departed.
Yeah, and then we have which has immediate lead into the next story, which is Evil of the Daleks. Right,
and Master, do you realize this means that there were two different incarnations of the Doctor there on Earth in London on the same day?
Yes, but not in the same part of London. But therefore, would have been two incarnations also two versions of the same Ben and Polly in London at the same time at some point. As well,
yeah, that's true.
The implication is that it's just like right after they stepped into the police box.
Okay.
Not quite the same.
Okay.
If Matthew were with us, there's apparently a novel that discusses that has a plot point where there's both doctors are there on that day.
Well, somebody spend a lot of time in their hands.
And just they're going, how could, is this the same person?
Like the Doctor says, if you travel around space and time as much as he does, you're bound to bump into yourself at some point.
Right.
Can I get on? Right, yeah. So what I thought of this story. This is my favourite Hartnell. story so far. Really, really good, gripping. I haven't actually been able to watch it in this format before, for obvious reasons. And having watched it in this format, found it indeed totally engrossing and completely enjoyable, brilliant. And also they've never actually done a story like this before, proper science fiction on Earth story. This is really, really good stuff. So therefore, so far, my favourite Hartnell story, even better than bloody hell Troughton story. What was I saying Hartnell for? Because you were talking about two incarnations of the Doctor at the same place and time. Thank you, Magic. He flapped his ears in agreement. Right.
Sorry.
Troughton story. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I
have her last.
Oh, shut up, Kirby. What did you think, Mary?
It's because he expects me to be down on these stories. And,
yes.
But this time I agree with Adam. You know, there's a lot of Troughton stories yet to go. But, yeah, so far I found this very engrossing. And even though there were, you know, things that stretched out some episodes that got a little boring, I still liked every single episode. And the reconstructions that I watched were very well done. So the funny thing is that I remember them as moving, not as, you know, reconstructions. So, yep. One of my favorites too. And then the one thing that and there was a lot of humor in this one. And I don't know if that's, you know, just if all of it was intentional, but it was, as soon as you bring in Jamie, I mean, the three of them crammed into that little photo booth, you know, and talking. Yeah. You can just imagine, you know, anytime somebody stuck their head in, you know, they were all posing.
Yes.
A lot more humor being injected in all of this. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. What do you think then, Kirby?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. This is, as everyone's saying, it was completely engrossing. I didn't have any boring times at all with it. It's just a matter of finding time.
Boring.
What?
I found the laser thing boring because I knew they'd get out of it, but
I was just smiling at it because I knew they'd get out of it, and it was just silly. Yeah. And it was just the whole thing was it had the funny parts, it had the bits of drama. Yeah, it was predictable, but it was still, you have to remember when this was. At first, when I was heading into this, there are several science fiction stories, including some by a writer named John Varley. He had a short story that he later expanded into a novel, which also became a movie called Millennium, dealing with people disappearing off of airplanes, which I thought by aliens, which I thought this was going to be. And it turned out to be completely different. I didn't expect the miniaturization thing at all until I got to that.
Yeah, that was a nice surprise, yeah.
I thought they were like beaming them someplace.
Well, we have had miniaturization, obviously, in the Ark, but they were like microscopically miniaturized.
And also, if they were collecting 50,000, you got to wonder, is this Samantha Briggs the first one to realize that her brother is back? I mean, how many others have come back?
There were some logical inconsistencies like that. I mean, had no one paying attention to the fact that all these young people were disappearing.
But now, they wouldn't be able to do that now because people have mobile phones, but obviously all they had to send back was a postcard in 1966. Yeah. So, there you go.
And it's been a year. I wonder where they are.
And, well, I've loved it. It was. I think I agree with you both. This is the best one so far of the Patrick Troughton, not Wayne Martin.
Troughton. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I do know that we've got some coming up, which I think I like better anyway.
Yeah. Well, we'll see on that one. So let's move on to feedback.
I'm
Shut up, you. I'm interested to see what Andy thinks of it.
Well, good afternoon, 20 Megabyters. Andy in here, 10 past 4, Sunday afternoon, break in the cricket. I don't think England have made enough. What do you reckon, Kirby? Well, we'll know by the time we put this out, but I think West Indies will probably cruise home. Faceless Ones. Yeah, it's a difficult one to watch in parts because it's obviously been a recon. You've got two full episodes, but you've only got four. You've got four recon, and there ain't a lot of pictures. I did notice there seems to be a lot of reuse of the same picture and standing, you know, sitting for quite a while with dialogue running over us. So, yeah, not the best to watch. However, it's a pity because I do think this is a very good story. I think it's quite cleverly written. I think it's a good story. It's got a good point that it makes about. It's almost refugees, you could say. It's very similar to what's going on now. And it's people who are desperate to get life elsewhere. And I think that's why it's quite a moralistic tone as well to it, the way the doctor comes back and just helps us to agree to save them at the end, because all the young people will come back. And I think it is it's quite good from that point of view. He's making a point about how people of these race are doing things, but they're doing it because they need to, because of it's the only way they can survive. So I think from that point of view, it's not, you know, not typical baddie, are they? I think Pauline Collins obviously was very good, and you know, there's always thought that she was going to become a companion and didn't after all. Pity, wonder what she would have come, but then of course she wouldn't have been Queen Victoria later on, would she? So perhaps we do well out of that. And of course we say goodbye to Ben and Polly, who decided that they'd had enough. And I think it's possibly because three companions of TARDIS is really too much. There's not so much space, and you can't share the lines of dialogue around amongst three. I mean, we had the same with Aldrich Teagan and Nyssa, didn't we? When there's too many. I think really one is ideal. It's a foil for the Doctor to play off. And obviously Jamie was excellent because he could read the counterpart of the Doctor. The Doctor being as super intelligent, whereas Jamie, I don't want to call him thick, but obviously he didn't know what was going on, but he's learned a lot, and I think that helps us as the audience to learn as we go along and pick things up. So from that point of view, I think that was going to work really well. But especially this, we haven't got always on video. Video? Good grief, yes. Because I think, you know, that shot where the plane turns into the rocket, I mean, I think that would actually be brilliant to watch. You know, I know they've got this seal, but it doesn't quite work really, does it? So there you go. So anyway, I'm going to trot back downstairs and see how England bowlers get on, and Kirby, I'll be just hear your views on it. Anyway, until next week, I'll be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. And on the subject of the cricket, extremely disappointing. And that's all I'm going to say. And I was quite miserable for the end of yesterday because of that cricket. I did forget also to mention, Polly's departure. And quite disappointed because I thought they were great companions. I thought they were really good, different characters that obviously got on well together. And I love Annika Wills. So sad to see them go.
Yes.
Well, obviously not as sad as I am, but there you go.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I'm sad to see them go, and I think they got well with Jamie, too.
Okay, right, we've got some more audio feedback, if I can find the right... Yes, we have. I can find the right... Oh, there it is.
The Faceless Ones by David Ellis and Malcolm the Incredible Hulk. Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
This Earthman is a particularly fine specimen, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I want your brain.
But I've hardly used it. Besides, I have the flu again. You might want to give it a week or two. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the Zygons. When the Doctor and Jamie were hiding, Jamie's wearing his kilt, so it should have been noticed.
Yes.
Yeah.
A later Doctor had a problem with a chameleon, but it was just a coincidence of names. Samantha was played by Pauline Collins. She talked to Chameleon Polly about her missing brother, but she might as well have been talking to a brick wall. In Shirley Valentine, she played the lead character, who did talk to a wall. She was later back in Doctor Who, playing Queen Victoria. Next week we have a Victoria, but it's just a coincidence of names.
Yes.
The airliners look like Vickers VC-10s. Have you all got your postcards ready? Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Hey, Ian's back, everyone.
Thanks, Ian.
Missed him. Well, you may not have missed him. Well, I did.
I missed him.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Right, then. So that's covered that side of, or that particular link. I do. It's handy having Debbie around, you know. Oh, well, Isabella, what did you think of the Faceless Ones?
I haven't even watched
it. So what you got to say for yourself? This is a Doctor Who podcast, and you haven't watched... And you knew full well you were off school this week, and you haven't watched.
Leave her alone!
No, come on, I want an answer.
Yeah. Listen to Kirby.
No. Okay. It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. So, right, Kirby, who do you think's going to win?
Mary.
Mary, who do you think's going to win?
You, Adam.
And I agree with you, Mary. So there we go, right.
Isabella, who do you think is going to win?
Kirby.
Isabella can't get any questions, unfortunately, because points. So.
Yeah.
But I'll just for fun, Isabella.
Oh, my goodness, we're just going to be going back and forth on these things, aren't we?
Kirby, right then. So... Isabel, if you get it right, you win by default. Okay, well, that's without having to ask and answer any questions.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Beg your pardon, Kirby?
I said that makes sense. If she gets it right, she wins by default.
Mm-hmm.
It's default,
if she,
default.
If she picks the correct person that wins at the question at the end of the question stage. She's trying to actually nick my scoring card off. She's got the iPad with the questions. She's trying to nick the scorecard off me, and she was also trying to nick the bell off me. Now, there is a limit to what I'm prepared to put up with. Now, you've got a choice. You get one of these three things that you can use on the thing. The scorecard, the bell, or the iPad to answer the question. So which one are you going to
take
do?
All three.
Can't take all three. No. So what are you going to have?
iPad.
Right then, first question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was the Doctor's first line?
Scatter.
Perhaps you should have played his Joker on that one, but never mind.
What?
Perhaps you should have played your Joker on that one. As you
oh,
first.
I forgot
oh,
about...
Oh dear, right, Mary.
Okay then, Mary. Where's the TARDIS dumped?
What?
Where was the TARDIS dumped?
Might not get this one. Might be up in the point, eh?
No, I don't know that one.
Excellent.
You won't get it. Kirby, do you want to give it a go?
I'm not understanding. I mean, they haul it off in a truck.
The question.
No, I understood the question. It's just,
yeah, I know. It's not up anywhere.
I don't know.
Master, it's on a runway, and then they put it on a lorry, and then we see it on a lorry in the sixth episode. So the question doesn't make any sense.
Okay, it's... go on, what was the answer then?
The answer was number 4 hangar.
And I'm just waiting for the most beautiful woman in the whole wide universe to carry her big case through into the other room.
Say the answer again.
It's a sensitive piece of audio equipment. There's no need to shout.
Say the answer again. The answer was number 4 hangar.
He's going to dispute that, but I am correct. I watched the episode, so I know what I'm talking about. Right, next question goes to Kirby.
Master.
What was the name of a dead man killed by Spencer?
It was French.
French?
No, I was it? No, that wasn't French. It was just a French name.
Was it? I don't think it was, but carry on.
I don't remember...
Can I try?
Go on in, Larry.
Is it like Gas Chain?
No, that'll do. Near enough.
See, that's a French name.
Gascoigne was the answer, but that was near enough for Mary. Get a point for that.
Okay, then. Mary, this is your question. What is a passport?
Oh, it's a piece of government something or other. I don't remember what it
is. What is a passport according to the script?
Yeah, and I don't remember. The doctor says it's just a piece of government flummery or something. I don't know.
Kirby?
Official mumbo jumbo.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so this must be Kirby's
question. That's a famous lie.
Okay.
In your head.
Kirby?
Yeah,
Master? Who dubbed the doctor and Jamie?
You might have to do that question. He was saying yes,
yeah,
Master.
Yeah, I didn't understand.
He was saying yes, Master, in the middle of you asking the question as per bloody usual. Try again, Isabella.
Okay, then. Who dubbed the Doctor and Jamie into the Commandant?
Commandant.
Commandant.
Who dubbed the Doctor and Jamie into the Commandant?
Who what did?
Who informed the Commandant about the Doctor and Jamie?
That would have been the guy who was on the desk. What was his name?
Well, that's the answer we're looking for.
I know his name.
Jenkins.
You've got it.
Yeah, okay, you had Wikipedia open on that particular one.
Mary.
Yes.
How many stripes did Blade have on his sleeves? How many stripes did Blade have on his sleeves?
Oh, I don't know this one, so don't worry.
Yeah, shoot, I don't know. I'll try 3.
Guess this one.
How many?
I guess three.
Okay, so the answer is...
The answer is 4.
Hang on, you didn't give Kirby a chance, right? You get a point.
I already said I didn't know.
You didn't
know.
So I didn't either.
And I believe that Isabella already heard me say that.
Yeah.
Well, you off then. Right, who's the next question go to?
The next question goes to Kirby.
Master?
On what desk did Jenkins work?
I know the name. What's the Joker?
Ooh.
Immigration Control.
Specifically?
Oh.
I know.
Dear.
No.
I know.
And now I can't use Joker anymore.
It's Immigration Desk Number 5.
Excellent. Well done. So you get double points for that because it was Kirby's Joker, which he's now
I can't use it anymore. I told you that she's going to win.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not.
Yes,
you are.
There you are. Where were the contents of the wooden crate searched and made? Well, basically made.
Where were they searched in what?
Where were the contents of the wooden crate searched in made? They searched in some wooden crates, but where were those crates made? You won't get this one.
No, I won't get that one.
No. Kirby, come on.
And Kirby, what do you reckon?
Come on, Kirby.
Where were they made?
Had a stamp on them, and don't you start looking through the things. I'm going to give you a time limit.
Come on,
this
Kirby.
One.
I don't know.
Excellent!
No!
What was it then, Isabella?
It was Poland.
So she's getting emotionally involved. This isn't healthy.
My chance.
Whose go is it now?
It's
Kirby's, I think,
isn't
it?
Yeah, Kirby's. Wait, is it? Yeah, it's Kirby's.
My turn? Okay.
What was Polly's new name?
See, I didn't write anything down.
Oh, I
was expecting Debbie. I had to know that. Okay, go ahead. You win.
No.
Right, what was, go on to Mary, what was Polly's new name?
It was Michelle Lupi.
Okay, now, Mary, this is your question.
I never know the answers to my questions. I always know the answers to Kirby's questions.
What did the commandant think?
Commandant.
What did the commandant think was an excellent order?
Was an excellent order?
Yeah, what was in... He said that the commandant said something was in excellent order. What was it?
Oh, I don't know.
Kirby? Please tell me you know this.
Polly's characters... Polly's duplicate characters...
Come on, Kirby.
Immigration forms.
Essentially, yes. It's a work permit, but I'll give you that one.
Yay!
Thank you.
Dear, right. Is it Kirby's go?
Yeah.
Go on then.
Wait, where I am? I've got it. What was Meadows' job?
Meadows was the air traffic controller. Of course.
You need to start using your joke. Yay!
Mary?
You need to start using your joker.
He's used it.
What?
He's used his joker.
I used my joker.
Badly.
I didn't realize that there was a number on the immigration desk.
I like to ask specific questions. Rather than
I've noticed.
Wait. I forgot which question I'm on now. Wait, I found it. What was Chameleon Tour's age range?
Oh.
I know.
Don't know.
Go on in, Kirby.
Between 18 and 25.
Yes, Kirby.
Right, Kirby's question.
Master?
What was the name of Blade's nurse?
The Pinto. That's an easy one.
Well, so you want to take it off?
No.
No.
No chance is winning.
That was a silly name, too.
Yeah.
Was she a horse?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I'm not sure I am.
You're in the front room. Come on.
I think I'm 14.
Well, Pinto was the last one, so yeah. It's 14, so, yes.
What was Meadows' new address? What was Meadows' new address?
New address?
Yeah.
34 Sylvia Avenue.
I'm going to give you a point for that, because you've got the Sylvia Avenue bit. So I'm going to give you a point for that. Well done.
Oh, the old one was 34.
Do I get the...
You can get the number right.
Come on, Kirby.
Yeah, I wrote
10. It's 10.
Yes.
10, it's 10.
Get
10 Sylvia Avenue.
Okay, right. So you got a point each. It doesn't happen very often in this show.
Yay.
It's Kirby's turn now, isn't it?
Let's have a score update.
Okay, then.
In last place, I'll go on then.
Yay! Thank you. In last place, with only 5 points, is Mary. Well, basically, joint leading is Adam and Kirby.
So whose go is it?
It's Kirby's, because it's
Victor. Master?
Yes.
What character did Wanda Venfum play in?
Jean, what was her last name?
Yeah, go on then, what's her last name?
Rock.
Well done, I get an extra point for that.
Yes!
It's 2 points for getting Jean, which is the answer, and to get the full name, you get an extra point. Well done.
Woo-hoo!
Right, Mary.
Yes.
Hey, then. Where did the Doctor, Ben, and Polly hide?
Where did they hide? Dr. Ben and Polly, yeah. Right?
Oh.
All right, it wasn't Polly, it was Samantha. Do the question again, but say put Samantha instead of Polly.
Where did the Doctor, Ben, and Samantha hide?
I don't remember.
Kirby,
I was thinking a different a different group of people hiding.
Yeah, so, me too. That's why.
Yeah, we were all thinking the photo booth, and it's
we were.
Well, it was a photo booth, so you should have said it was. So no, I'll get the point.
No,
Samantha was not in the photo booth.
Samantha was not there.
It was Ben, Jamie, and the doctor in the photo booth.
Oh, forget that question then. Oh, it doesn't matter.
We both knew that one, except you had the question wrong.
Yeah, you had the wrong one.
I'll give Mary 2 points then.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, she deserves it.
Okay, right. Anne, Kirby.
Master.
What gate was the Geneva flight boarding? Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yes.
What
gate?
Say it again.
Let her say it.
You let me
say
it.
Go on then. Today.
What gate was the Geneva flight boarding?
How am I supposed to know that?
Well, after all that.
No, Mary. Letting me down, don't.
Mary?
I don't know.
No!
Oh. Call up Debbie. She'll know.
You're an evil man,
Debbie. Right. Yeah. Right. Whose go is it now?
It's Mary.
Well, what was it?
What was the answer?
19.
Okay.
Actually, she's going to be this year.
Okay.
Right. Go on.
Okay, then. What was Samantha's brother called?
Brian.
She's your joker on that one, Mary. You're going to cut yourself a double point.
Yeah, I wasn't totally sure, so.
Okay, then. Kirby? Why did Blade say Spencer had to stay behind?
To kill the doctor.
What?
What's it say? It's not that, is it? Where's the answer? I can't see it. Shall I do this? Why did Blade
say Spencer had to stay behind?
To kill the doctor.
Oh, I know. Right, the answer, what you said, is wrong.
Oh.
Right, so anybody, Mary, do you know the actual answer?
I would have said the same thing as Kirby.
Yeah.
Nope. What's the answer?
To atone for his incomplete.
Oh, for God! Shall I do this?
He was to kill the doctor, which would have atoned for that.
Yeah.
Our answer is correct.
Yes.
The answer was you have to stay behind to atone for your incompetence. That's what was in the script. Never mind the killing the doctor bit. The bit I was looking for, as I always am in these quizzes, was to the thing specific to the script. Next, Isabella. Whose go is it?
Mary's.
Mary.
How long did the doctor get the freedom of the airport for?
I'll use my joker here.
Ooh.
12 hours.
Dang.
Yay!
I knew that one.
Of course you did. That was really an obvious one.
Yes.
What did the beam ignite?
Wait, whose question?
Yes. Your name's Kirby, isn't it?
I didn't hear Kirby. My name.
Well, you probably weren't listening.
I didn't hear his name either.
Oh, Mary.
I didn't hear his name.
Shut up.
Hey, it's us against you guys.
Master.
What did the beam ignite as it approached the Doctor, Jamie, and Samantha?
What did it ignite?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did it ignite something?
Yes.
I don't know. A bunch of paper.
Mary?
Well, like the laser control.
Excellent. What was it, Isabella?
Sawdust.
Right. Oh, sawdust.
Oh, okay.
Right. So it must be Mary's go.
Kirby, you can't let me down anymore.
Am I getting the impression that you don't want me to win?
Yeah.
Kirby, you'll go.
Master?
Yeah.
No, it's not mine.
No, it's my turn.
Not Mary, yes. I do apologize. Mary. Mary. It was Isabella put me off.
I'm lost now. What was Jenkins' full name?
Oh. I know I've got that. So I'll have to give it up. I don't know.
Good.
Kirby?
I don't know.
No!
Oh, that's good news then.
You were an evil man, Dad.
No, I'm not. Oh, blast. It's just like nothing I do.
Ha-ha.
Right. So what was the answer?
What was it?
The answer was... I've lost it now. Stephen Christopher Jenkins.
Okay.
Right, so whose go is it now? I've lost the plot.
I remember the scene. I know where his parents lived. Does that count?
No, Kirby, your go.
Master?
What RAF station did the commandant call?
Commandant. Manston.
Why don't you hold it properly? Right. Yes. Next.
I don't know why I get random things like that. I memorize some things and don't memorize others.
Mary?
Yes?
I don't use notes.
How high can fighters fly?
100 miles.
What?
Go on then, Kirby.
10,000 feet. I don't know.
I do like this quiz. What was the answer, Isabella?
10 miles plus.
Yes, 10 miles plus was the answer in the script. Right then, Kirby.
Master?
What were in Anne's drawers?
Hey!
That's what he said.
What were in Anne's drawers?
Postcards.
I know.
Go on in, Mary.
The miniaturized people.
Those were specifically Anne's drawers.
That
was the storage compartments on the space station.
Take no notice of him, Mary. You knew the answer.
I did.
Right, Mary, you're going.
So did I. No, I was thinking about on
Mary
Earth.
Got it right and you got it wrong.
Mary.
Yes?
What were the young people being abducted?
What? Why, it should be, not what.
Why were the young people being abducted?
To repopulate the planet that these chameleon people came from.
Yeah, but why do they need to repopulate the planet?
Because the chameleon people were dying out.
I'll give you a point. It's not quite what I've got written down.
They had a gigantic explosion on the planet.
Oh, okay.
Catastrophe was
what. Now, is that why they all look like
they've been injured?
Pizza.
Yes.
Okay, then.
Right, Kirby's going.
Master.
How many people did they plan to abduct?
50,000. I would have done a joker, except I couldn't.
No, well, you should have done it correctly in the first place. Mary's go.
Come on, Kirby. Okay, then. What did Blade say the Doctor and Pinto won't be needing?
Don't know.
Ooh.
Kirby.
Living space.
Oh, that's right.
Right, that's
I like that scene.
Not many questions left.
Okay, then. Last.
How many questions left?
Not many. I'm not telling you.
In last place with only 15 is Mary.
I say only 15. It's a very good score.
Why? Well, I had a joker in there, and I thought that was supposed to.
Well, it did. Yeah. It gave you 4 points, but carry on.
Second place with 21 is Kirby. Come on, Kirby, you can do this.
Shut up.
And in the lead with 25 points is Dad.
He doesn't count.
Yes, I do.
We all know that.
I count quite clearly. I've got all the scores here in front of me. Right, who's next? Must be Kirby.
Master?
Did I?
Yeah. What did the commandant say?
Commandant!
Say the Metropolitan...
Start again!
What did the commandant...
Commandant!
Commandant!
Looks like having an American on the show! Commandant!
What did the commandant say the Metropolitan...
I'll do this one, shall I?
Yes,
what did the commandant say the Metropolitan Police were sending?
Help!
All that for that one quick answer.
Yeah,
yeah, really.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
Who did the doctor imply was first on the list?
Do you want me to say that? It's a simple word, it's imply.
That's what I said.
You didn't, you went imply?
Imply.
Right, do the question again, but say imply correctly.
Who did the doctor imply was first on the list?
I guess I have to figure out what list we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking Blade.
I thought you were going to get it wrong. No, sorry. That's correct.
I thought she was going to get it wrong, too, oh because God. What Blade said, Blade says, what list? And that's what you said. I'm going, come okay, on. Kirby. You must know it.
Right, please go.
What did Samantha and Jean check in the airport car park?
They checked the cars. and they found a manically depressed robot in the car park.
Be quiet.
Did they check their car registration or something like that? Oh, okay.
Oh.
Number
plate.
Number plate. The number plate registration is a better. Yes. Yeah. Well, Mary's plates. Go.
Yeah, Master, yes, may, yes. I have, may I observe something? During that scene, I was going, does it not get warm and all these bodies are starting
to... Yeah, all closed up.
...smell?
Probably, yes. They're not dead, too. Though, are they?
Okay, then.
Whose question is this?
Mary.
Mary's go, yes.
Okay.
Who died with the director?
Who? What the director?
Who died with the director?
The director got killed, but who died with him? When they found the bodies, disconnected the bodies, who died with...
Meadows?
Kirby?
Blade?
No, it wasn't Blade.
Who was it then?
What's it?
Chameleon Jamie.
Oh!
Oh, indeed. We're two questions left.
Okay.
Two questions left. Go on in, Isabella. First of the last two questions goes to Kirby.
Master?
What did the commandant...
Commandant.
I see it. What did the commandant say to Jamie as they left? What did the commandant say to Jamie as they left?
I don't know. No. Sorry.
Look, give it to your dad, because I don't know either.
You'll be...
Go on then, what did he say?
It's goodbye, Scotty.
Oh, he's gone very quiet. Are they still there?
No. Yes.
I just don't remember that.
Quiet, because it was
I don't remember that either.
He said goodbye, Scotty, as they left. Oh, never mind, I've already answered. Right, the last question goes to Mary.
Yeah, you said, I believe you, it's just I don't remember that.
You should have been paying attention. Right, last question to Mary.
Uh-huh.
What was the date?
July 20th, 1966.
Yay! Because you put in the 1966 bit, which I didn't put in the answer. Well, I'm going to have to write
it
in.
Well, that's because it is July 20th, 1966. It's important.
You are evil.
Ow.
I think he won, although we know he really didn't.
Yes, he really did.
Well, he won, but I picked him.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, okay.
Which means?
You win.
Yeah.
Okay, right, there you go. There's your final scores, Isabella.
Well, basically, in last place is B.
What do you mean, basically?
Because I didn't get it right.
Yeah, Isabella got zero because she didn't get it right. That's why she was so hoping that Kirby was going to win.
Well,
get on with it. Today.
Is that right?
Can you not see the numbers? I've written them in. Right. So last place was you with zero.
So third place is Kirby with 23. Second place is Mary with 42. And... the winner
42, that's the answer.
The winner of 60 is Dad.
Quite rightly so, thank you very much.
Can I read
the amount of time.
What's that noise? I know that.
Right, Doctor Who.
Wait, what's she ripping up?
She's ripping up the score sheet in disgust.
Oh, I thought she was smashing your iPad.
Yeah.
No, that's never mind.
So even picking you and doubling my points, you still won.
Well, yes, but unfortunately, I had more points than you before your doubling came along. So yes.
That's odd. And of course, you know, nobody believes it when you win.
Tough.
It's always the actual contestants
count. That's not quite right. Anyway, right. But that's what you think. In the events that I don't win, then obviously it's fair enough, isn't it? But if you lot can't answer the questions correctly, I think I quite rightly win the. I've even won when Debbie's been playing, but only because Debbie doesn't select herself.
Very rarely.
Only because Debbie doesn't select her. Well, listen back through the episodes, Kirby. Right, so Doctor Who News, a Bad Wolf Bluetooth speaker. I want one. I'd really like to have one.
How expensive
really
are they?
Cool. It doesn't say, does it? It just says what it does. Doesn't say a price. I bet the sound isn't that good on it, but it's so cool. It's sound clips, there's dematerialization and materialization, cloister bell, flight, turbulence. It's got top LED flashing when power on off, windows illuminate when paired with the device, and a flash when pairing. Auxiliary in for direct connection via 3.5mm cable. Multifunction interface for volume, play, pause, fast forward, rewind, phone and power. 1.5 inch full range driver with precision tuned ported enclosure plus 1.5 inch base radiator. Mil-spec PCB with SMD parts for amplification, USB rechargeable lithium-ion battery with 5-hour life for constant playback, battery indicator display stroke voice battery low indicator, and the dimensions are 5.89 high, 2.98 diameter, and 2.98 width, and that's some inches. So if it's 5 inches high, it's not that tall, really, but still cool. It says, for more information, please contact Fame Tech or visit the Facebook page. So that looks really cool, but it doesn't come up with a price. So Kirby, while I'm looking at the next news item, see if you can find out how much that would set.
I'm trying to find the news. Oh, there it is. Finally, had to page down past a couple of unfortunate.
Just see if you can find.
I had to page down through some unfortunate deaths.
Okay, well, we're not there yet. Have you noticed that?
I know.
Mary, he likes to jump ahead a bit. Mary's gone to sleep.
Jump ahead of.
Did you make yourself a cup of coffee?
Well, it's because when you look at the Doctor Who News page, the most recent one comes up first, and you have to page down
to the bit I'm looking at. Central Doctor Who number 7. Makers of Doctor Who magazine have released the latest in their series of bookazines with a 116-page issue devoted to the Doctor's own race. And there's a picture of Timothy Dalton on the cover as Rassilon. And, of course, you've got Omega as well, and Rassilon's little sidekick from the most recent visit to Gallifrey. Doctor Who Project. The Doctor Who Project is
Asta?
Taking... What?
I have the price.
Oh, go on, then.
$50. $49.95.
So that's still not too bad, really. What's that?
They also have several others. They've got a slightly larger Bluetooth speaker that's much more expensive, $120. And they also have a Dalek SEC for $120.
I've got the TARDIS, must admit. would be quite useful. At the moment, I've got, obviously, you can hear the audio feedback through my old iPod dock. It'd be quite handy to have a TARDIS version of the same thing. Doctor Who Project is seeking story proposals to form part of a forthcoming season of short stories. So I would go and Google Doctor Who Project if you want to take part in that. Peter Capaldi accepts Guinness World Record title. He's accepted the title for largest gathering of people dressed as Doctor Who characters at the La Mole Comic Con in Mexico City. He gets out of it, doesn't he?
Wow.
I thought they'd started filming the new series.
That's a lot of Mexican fans. Wow.
Yeah.
Indeed. Amazon Prime confirmed.
Jesus me, is it? It's Mexico City.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime confirmed to exclusively stream Doctor Who in the United States as of the 27th of March. Why are you making farting noises?
Because I cannot justify the price of Amazon Prime.
Okay, well, nor can I.
We do Netflix for our streaming, but yeah. Amazon Prime is just too expensive.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't.
Unfortunately, I've got everything on DVD.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the new season soon.
Yeah.
Series. I said season. Oh no! Shoot me.
I wouldn't worry about.
I'm expecting to get the new series DVDs soon.
Yeah.
But. I've got my recorded copies on the hard drive, but
okay,
still, yeah, I should get the DVD soon.
Yeah, okay, doesn't go on, doesn't he, Isabella?
Yes, I do.
Before we move on to the next news
article, Amazon Prime is going to have many of the classic episodes. They seem more focused on the new.
Yes, I'm going to skip past Legacy Easter update.
Yeah.
Isabella, yeah. You played recorder on the show a few weeks ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Hit one bum note, didn't you?
Yeah.
But you did your recorder stroke music exam a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
In which you played the same piece but didn't hit the bum note. So how did you get on?
I got the results on Saturday.
Just building up the suspense here, listeners.
And I got a distinction.
Whoa, very good, Isabella.
Yeah.
Well done, Isabella. Right, Adrienne Corrie has passed away at the age of 85. She played Mina in
Mina.
Leisure Hive. A lot of actors seem to be passing away at 85 this year, funny enough. It seems to be quite a popular rate age. So if you're 85, everybody, try and keep well. That's what I say. Candy Bard Books have released a brand new Lethbridge Stewart story for Easter. Although we're past Easter now, so we didn't have a show at that time, so I do apologise. Michelle Gomez has been nominated for BAFTA for Best Supporting Actress in Doctor
Who. Well, she deserves it.
She does, but that's the only nomination Doctor Who got, and I think that's appalling in the BAFTA Television Awards. Nothing for Peter Capaldi, even though he's the best actor to have played the part in the last 10 years.
Yeah, but the scripts and all that, they just haven't been that good.
Well, they have been. He's been, but it's not about the scripts sometimes. It's about being able to deliver monologues the way he can do it and his acting. Yeah. That's what a nomination for Best Actor should be about, not necessarily the scripts. Because, to be fair, Michelle Gomez has had the same scripts and she's been nominated.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but good luck, Michelle. She's up against Eleanor Worthington Cox for The Enfield Haunting, Chal Cresswell for This Is England 90, and Leslie Manville for River. Not River Song, that was a drama called River.
Well, she should win.
So good
not
luck.
A problem.
Friend of the family, Michelle Gomez, because you've got a picture up on
yeah.
the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've got Peter Capaldi.
Both Michelle Gomez and Isabella pouted for the photo we have. From the festival right there. Ronnie Corbett has passed. He should
Aww.
Actually be Sir Ronnie Corbett.
Yes.
But somebody got something wrong somewhere along the line. He passed away. He was in...
Well, he had both an OBE and a CBE.
He did, but he's a legend, and it's very sad
yes.
to see him go. Has connections with Python as well, because he worked with John Cleese before.
Plus, he was in Sarah Jane.
He was in Sarah Jane. There's a photo of him, actually. It looks like he's poking his head out of the TARDIS. I think that was probably from the TARDIS having been borrowed for the two Ronnies.
Right.
But, yeah.
And I loved it in the Sarah Jane adventures when they had the two Ronnies joke, because
yeah.
the one Sarah Jane character was named Ronnie.
Yeah. Yes, but yeah, yeah, he was a very talented chap, and will be sadly missed as a British icon. And finally, Reg Whitehead, who's best known for having
yeah, this one surprised me. I didn't know about this
to be seen on screen, and it looks like a Yeti as well in Abominable
yes.
Snowman. So there we go, a few passings. Again, he was 83, so when I say 85, huh. I think, and Ronnie Corbett was 85, so it's being in
yeah,
the mid-80s.
Yeah.
Really quite a popular, they say it's a good innings, but it's still sad when
And then there are lots of interviews with Reg Whitehead on various DVD extras.
Mm-hmm.
Most recently in the moon base.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that, Kirby.
I've got some Con GT news.
Oh, go on and quit with the dog. Con GT news.
Con GT returns March 17th through 19th,
yes.
2017, at the Riverview Inn.
Go on.
What?
I was doing a
make sure you write down the date.
Go on then. I'll do it now.
And
I have the date when I got double booked for Little Mix. It's just I didn't check my phone when we booked the tickets.
Isabella?
Yeah.
No concerts that weekend.
Right, so what's the date?
March 17th through 19th. Okay. So we will most likely be doing the podcast on Sunday the 19th.
Okay. Well, I want me to do it on... Oh, I could do it on the 18th, but because I don't work Saturday.
That's an idea. Early enough that we could do that.
But if I have a wedding that day, I won't be able to do it. But I've penciled it in for the 19th. We'll just keep it in mind a bit nearer the time.
Are there any guests?
We'll, of course, be at the Riverview Inn again. Yes. And we will have the return of our favorite guest, Andrew Cartmell.
Yes.
And our special guest will be Sophie Aldred.
Hey.
She's so nice. She is so nice.
I know she's not, because she's good friends with a friend of the show, Alistair Pearson.
And Robin Burks will be back. She's kind of the perpetual guest. She's fun. She does all those cosplays. She did the cosplay of Harley Quinn and Rose.
Yes.
If you saw the pictures.
Yes.
Oh, and what'd you think of the Yeti? Did you see the pictures?
That was very well done.
There was one that didn't look so good, but the effort, you've got to admire people for the efforts they put into for these costumes.
What, the Santarin?
The Santarin looked like it.
Andy did okay with that.
It's a difficult one to do, isn't it? It's quite challenging to do a cosplay of a Santarin, but.
Andy was changing between costumes several times. Just one of the things he was.
Well, good on everybody who does a cosplay. Right, so we're going to move on to sponsorships now. whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Got a couple of...
That wouldn't be whowon.co.uk.
I think it's whowon.co.uk.
Shut up! It'll be quite interesting things that have come up on the latest products front. We've got a Doctor Who magazine 498. Now, I just remembered that... Billy Kirkbright got his delivery from Who Won, but unfortunately he bought a DVD box set but didn't check the region on
it. Oh, no.
But he said he can play it on his PC. So if you're abroad and you're buying DVDs, make sure that the region is something you can play at home.
I think I could probably play British DVDs on my computer as well.
Some people get their machines set so they can play anything from anywhere, don't they? So they do sell things other than DVD sets, like, for instance, Doctor Who Magazine 498, which you can get a lot quicker if you order it through Who Won than you do if you wait for it to arrive in your own shop, unless you happen to live in the United Kingdom. And we spoke about the Doctor Who magazine Special Time Lords, which is also...
Ooh, I want this!
What, the Who Won number plate?
Yes,
indeed. £5.99. What?
That's not bad.
Yeah, but they should have that on their window, as they're called Who Won. Yeah, it's the basic number plate, £5.99. It's a tin sign, which is 50 by 10 centimetres. It is really cool. It is really cool. I think they're going to sell
it. I doubt it would fit on my car, but yeah. I love it.
It is brilliant, isn't it?
I don't know about Ohio, but Georgia is a state where we only require license... plates on the back of the car.
Yeah,
Ohio, we have to have them front and back, so we can't do any of these.
I wouldn't be allowed to stick this over my own number plate, but I might be able to stick it somewhere in the car, maybe in the back window, but whether it be legal to do that or not, I don't know. But either way, I'd like to get one. But you can get them from whowon.co.uk. Right, so we move on to our...
Hey, if they want to provide a free sample to be displayed in the United States...
Well... No. Lavarzi still are making...
Lavarzi, my favorite of our sponsors.
Yeah. I'm still maintaining the standard of Doctor Who merchandise, especially for cosplayers, as we were talking about cosplayers earlier on. You can get a scarf like Kirby has.
Master. Apparently, I was the only person who had an actual Lavarzi scarf over the weekend, even though you saw lots of scarves in the pictures. People kept wandering up to me and feeling my scarf. They loved the feel of it.
Yes. Well, it's nice, isn't it? It's a quality from Lavarzi, listeners.
Yes. I kept showing people the little sewn-on thing.
That says Lavarzi?
says Lavarzi. And people would write it down. So,
Doctor Who, yes.
So pass that on to
so if you want to go to any convention with a Fourth Doctor's scarf that looks like the Fourth Doctor's scarf, go to lavarzi.co.uk and buy one. They do have a various different versions of it. They have the one that Kirby's got, which I think is the Series 13 one, is it, Kirby? I can't remember now.
Insufficient data for meaningful response.
I think it's the
I'm not a scarf expert.
Version. They got a more deluxe version, which is the Series 16 to 17 one, which is also available, along with the Series 18 burgundy scarf. And they're all bloody lovely, aren't they? You can get a shorter one if you're a bird and you don't want an 18-foot scarf. Also, they're £24.99. And a tie, if you want to dress your little kiddie wink up in something that won't be too cumbersome, along with their usual products like the scarves that aren't those. Like, you know, the neck scarves, like Debbie has. She has I think she has a Dalek one, or is it a TARDIS one? I can't remember. Lavarzi.co.uk. And also, if you like audiobooks, because if you're listening to this podcast, there's a chance you might like to listen to things in the car. So once the podcast's finished, you think, oh, I know, I'll bung on an audiobook. Well, go to audibletop.co.uk/20MB. That's 20MB.
Spell it.
Kirby.
And thank you.
You can take free 30-day trial. And as part of that 30-day trial, you get to download an audiobook of your choice, which you get to keep forever, even if you decide not to take up the subscription after the 30-day trial has finished. So that's well worth doing, isn't it, Mary?
Oh, definitely.
Which one did you go for?
I haven't yet.
Haven't yet either, sorry.
Okay, well, next week, listeners, it's Evil of the Daleks.
It's funny time.
What's Sonic Funny Time? What are you on about?
That's the main reason I have not is finding the time to listen to stuff. I can barely keep up with podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, after listening to Colin last week talk about
the I love the way
Big
he keeps
Finish the names audio off. That he dealing with his regeneration. So mm-hmm. I got that, but I don't know when I'm going to be able to listen.
Okay. As I was trying to say, next week we'll be talking about Evil of the Daleks, and yes, it will be on Sunday, so 7 episodes are squeezed into 7 days. Well, I'm off on holiday this week, so it's all right for me, but I've got a funny feeling it's a good story, so it should be quite... It's easier
to... You don't know?
Shut up. It's easier to get in these longer stories when they're quite good. I have actually listened to the audio version of this. I seem to remember the audio being absolutely brilliant, so a reconstructed version, I'm fairly confident, will be fun.
So are there no surviving...
There's one surviving episode. Episode 2, I believe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So, until next week, when I hope everybody else will actually be bothered to turn up, apart from Isabella won't be, obviously, because she'll be in bed. Thank you for listening to the show. See you again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
podcast is an apvservices.co.uk production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast is sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk and audible.com. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.